Hello, I'm Kathleen Dunn, and you are listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this Thursday, the 3rd of June. First half hour of our program this morning, Ed Schultz is joining us. Ed is a veteran broadcaster. He's been, though, on MSNBC. It seems as though he's a fixture on that program, but he started his first broadcast as host of The Ed Show on April 7th of 2009. So it's been just a little over a year he's done that show. He's a veteran of radio talk. He's been doing a nationally syndicated radio program for quite a few years. And he is the author now of a new book, How Big Money and Bad Politics Are Destroying the Great American Middle Class. Killer Politics is the name of the book. Ed is going to be in Madison. He's doing his program tonight from the Barrymore Theater in Madison, a live broadcast at 7:30 this evening. And we are going to welcome him. We already have a ton of phone calls for Ed. Our phone number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. And the email address, if you'd like to send us an email, is talk@wpr.org, talk@wpr.org. Hi, Ed. Thanks so much for being with us.
Good morning, Kathleen. Nice to be with you.
Yeah, great to have you here. I must say, I was so impressed by the broadcast you did on health care, and I was moved by your broadcast from one of the free health clinics where you obviously felt it in your soul that something was greatly wrong here and something needed to be fixed. Can you tell me about that experience and if you feel like the system has been fixed enough?
Well, I think we've made some strides in health care. We didn't get everything we wanted. And I don't think that all the changes that are needed have been accomplished, but it is a good start, and there are some provisions that are in this bill that definitely are going to affect American families and the middle class and those who don't have insurance, and so I think it's a positive step forward. But the broadcast in which you're talking about, the free clinics that we went to, I just don't know how anybody can go to any one of those free clinics and not be moved by some of the stories that are unfolding in our country. And I was deeply moved because you lose your health care and you have a sickness, it just snowballs throughout your entire life and affects everything else. And the free clinics are a great thing, but they're not the answer. The answer is universal health care. The answer is us making a true commitment to the American people that we can get up to speed with other countries that have made it higher on their priority list than what we have as a country. And politically, it's boiling over, and it's going to continue to boil over as the great American middle class, as I write in the book, is being smothered by some horrible decisions that are influenced by big money and big politics. And it's killer politics on the American middle class. And if we don't revitalize that, we really face some tough years ahead of us.
You write that your biggest fear is big business, much more than big government. What kinds of big business worry you, Ed?
Well, obviously the big business of energy and what is unfolding in the Gulf right now is a classic example of how big business has a way of isolating itself from any kind of responsibility, isolating itself from any kind of oversight, and isolating itself politically that they'll be so strong and so influential that it'll be a different playing field for the little guy. You know, I write in the book how our boys run a concrete company and a construction company in North Dakota. I mean, my philosophy is to, reinvest in the youth of America, reinvest in jobs. Those of us who have been fortunate enough to have a good living, we just can't be selfish about it. We got to put investment back into people and jobs, and that's what my wife and I have done. And our boys run our construction company, and which has grown over the last 3 years because we've been aggressive. But the fact being is that if we don't have Americans that make commitments to jobs and other Americans, we're not going to grow. And sitting on your money and watching the stock market do whatever it does is not the way to go. Now, the point I'm making here is that when we go pour concrete, when we go do any kind of construction, we have to get a permit. And we have to have oversight from the city or the county and state regulations and federal regulations. I mean, and we're a small business. We've got 18 employees. We run three different crews. And administratively, there's a lot going on. And then I watch the news, I watch my own show, and I bring people on, and I hear that, well, gosh, they didn't have to have a permit to go in there to how many thousands of feet where they didn't have the safety precautions. They didn't have the backup systems. They didn't have this $500,000 acoustic switch. And so this is a classic example of what's unfolding in the Gulf, of what's happening in everyday life and how small businesses, the little guy, overregulated, overpounded on, while the big corporations have the money to cash whip anybody that gets in their way, infiltrate the mineral management services, and get exactly what they want. I can't do that as a small business guy. And that's wrong. And I think that it's going to take, and I don't think my example is a stretch. I think there's a lot of people that would relate to what I'm saying, is that it's getting harder and harder to break out and do your own thing because of the corporate stronghold. I write in the book about the disparity of income in this country. Since 1979 to 2005, the leaps and bounds that the top 1% made in our country, and then, of course, the lower 20%, the disparity of percentage of wages, benefits, job security, all of that, it's absolutely staggering. There's a lot of facts and figures in the book. It's well-researched. We spent a lot of time on digging into just what is bending down on the American middle class. And if we're going to be satisfied with having a country that's got the filthy rich, the rich, and then the poor, we are going to be a different country. We will not be the America that we were intended to be.
Let's go back to drilling for a moment. You asked one of your guests last night, should there be a ban on offshore drilling? I know the president, in a speech, has pushed to end oil tax breaks. Should the president be calling for the very backup systems that you were talking about before any drilling continues?
Absolutely. There has to be a complete overhaul of regulations when it comes to permitting and safety precautions. What would the outrage be of the American people if we were to send the astronauts up into space without any backup system or any kind of alternative plan B? They were digging not to make us energy independent. They were digging for profit, and they were circumventing the system, and they were gaming the system to be able to go do whatever they wanted to do. And now we're paying the price. And what is happening and what's unfolding now is that there's going to be a ripple effect through our economy that I think we haven't even begun to calculate. It's going to be billions upon billions of dollars. And I think what the president needs to do, and I talked a little bit about this last night with Elijah Cummings, the gentleman that you're referring to, congressman from Maryland who just got back from the Gulf, I think we need a long-term plan. Because this is going to have a long-range effect. Senator Landrieu, who I've taken issue with, has said that BP is going to make you whole if you lost 50 grand. BP is going to make you whole if you lost a million. Wait a minute. These people are losing their livelihoods. These people are losing their security. And this is why on the Ed Show, we have just made a commitment to continue to bring stories of small business people who are just getting butchered because of what BP did and how they were allowed to do it. And how there wasn't the proper oversight.
I know that you write about driving, you and Wendy driving an electric car at your lake home in Minnesota. We go to Minnesota every year on vacation, too. It's beautiful. Are we all going to be doing that? Is there a push for great tax incentives? Is the technology moving forward?
Well, it's interesting you bring that up. I'm all for tax incentives if you're going to be able to create jobs. But I'm not for tax incentives just because we should be doing things. I mean, we have to have a conscious effort and a conscious change of thought in this country to go energy independent. And it's going to take all of us to make a concerted effort. What kind of vehicle are we driving? Does it get better gas mileage than the last vehicle that I had? Are we being practical? Are we living within our means? Are we consuming too much energy? All of these things have to be rethought. And I think that I write in the book, where there's been crisis in American history, there's always been opportunity for us as a country to come out of it even better. And I talked about this a little bit last night with our crowd in Chicago, which will play on the radio show today, is that, don't get me wrong, this is not a blessing, what has happened in the Gulf. But it is an opportunity for us to have an awakening moment so we can understand that we can make a difference. But we're going to have to change our thinking on consumption. We're going to have to change our thinking on our habits. We're going to have to change our thinking on exactly how we do things, and are we making the effort to go energy independent? I mean, we only use a fraction of solar power in this country, a fraction of wind power. We keep hearing about all these wind farms. We keep hearing about all these solar panels and solar factories. We use less than 3% of any of that. We're talking a good game. In the meantime, the Chinese are just smoking us. The Chinese are eating our lunch when it comes to energy independence. And also, they're on our turf doing wind energy more than we are. So there's just a lot of things that we have to address as a country. And this is an opportunity, I think, for the president, who seems to capture the emotion and capture the attention and passion of the American people, to redirect us as a country. And he did talk about this yesterday, and he's got to talk about it every day, and that is energy independence.
Mm-hmm.
And we can't let killer politics get in the way of us making a move as a country.
Let's go to some phone calls. Rick is our first caller from Milwaukee. Hey, Rick.
Yes, good morning, Kathleen. To you and your guest. I would just briefly like to start by saying that what concerns me more than anything is that this big recession we have right now wasn't caused really by big business. It was caused by massive regulatory failures by the federal government. First of all, the failure of the federal government to adequately regulate the American economy or the business cycle, and more pointedly, the failure of the federal government, in other words, the Fed, to properly control and monitor the banking industry and the credit industry. But what I really wanted to talk about here...
Well, wait a minute. Before you go to another subject here, you're playing right into what I'm talking about. Big business and corporate America has been able to infiltrate the Congress to deregulate and to set the table for failure. That's exactly the point I'm making, is that there is no question that the banking industry, the insurance industry, the medical industry, the energy industry, they have cash-whipped and infiltrated our system to the point where they can operate like gunslingers and do whatever the heck they want. And this is killer politics. This is taking our country down. And who's paying the price? The middle class. Who's paying the price? The working force of America. The rich are getting richer, and the poor are getting poorer, and the middle class is getting butchered and overtaxed. The deregulation that the regulation you're talking about has all been influenced by the big money and the bad decisions, and the politicians have fallen prey to it. That's why we need term limits.
Thanks, Rick, for the call. We need to hold you one thought. We have a ton of callers. Scott in Green Bay. Hi, Scott.
Good morning. I had just two quick questions or points. I didn't realize that Ed owned a construction company. I think that's real interesting. You know, having a small business, and when he talks about having a single payer national health care, and I'm all for that. I think, and I'm a conservative, I think we need a universal policy. But the one thing I don't like is that typically it's argued that the rich can pay for it and the rich can't pay for everything. I think we all, as a country, we're going to all have to pony up. We're going to have to contribute to it. Services will go down, and that's fine because we don't need a hospital or a doctor's office that looks like a Taj Mahal. I mean, you've seen these big corporate hospitals that people are building. But I think we all need to participate. I mean, you talked about how Europe is ahead of us. They are when it comes to healthcare. But if you visit one of their hospitals or their clinics, because I go to Europe every year, they're much more stripped down. So I'm wondering, do you think then that we need to take health insurance out of the employer's hand?
Well, respectfully, they have better outcomes than we do. A for-profit system is just that. They're thinking about making money before they are making patients better. Now, our research and technology obviously is good because of our education system. But when it comes to actual services and when it comes to actual bankruptcies and how it affects the American families, universal health care is going to be our savior in the long run. Well, they have better outcomes than we do. They have a better life expectancy. They have better infant mortality rate. Now, if we were to have universal health care, and I write about this in the book and document it all out, it will save you, as a business owner, money. where you're going to be able to invest in your employees to help their standard of living, invest in equipment to improve your product, invest in equipment to make you a more efficient business. We are missing the boat. We are spending more money on healthcare in this country than all of the industrialized countries on the face of the earth that have universal healthcare. But because we've got a political system where big medical and big insurance gets in there and plays the fear game and makes the American public think, well, gosh, if we do this, we're going to have lines around the corner and you're never going to be able to see the doctor. Wait a second. I had an angiogram 6 years ago. I had to wait 6 months to get that. To think that life is going to be perfect with our medical system and that we have the best system in the world, no, we don't. We have one of the most expensive systems in the world because it's for profit. And I think if every business owner were to pay attention to exactly what universal health care would do for their business, we would have a change of thought in this country, undoubtedly. Now, as far as paying for it, you're right. But when you look at how income and tax breaks have taken a grip on the American middle class, our disposable income is going out the window. And if rich people are in business, they don't want that. They want customers. Of course, we get dumbed down by the conservative talkers of America saying that, well, gosh, we're paying for everything. But you also had the most breaks, and you've also had the biggest income jump in the last 30 years. And there is a disparity, and I don't think it's fair.
Thanks very much for the call. Tell us the story of how you got your job on MSNBC. And it hasn't been that long. It seems like you've been there a long time now. But it's quite a story. It shows how being at the right place at the right time and working hard for a lot of years. And there you go. They gave you a television show.
Well, I appreciate your question. I've always had the philosophy, the harder you work, the luckier you get. And I tell my boys that, the harder you work, the more jobs you're going to get, and the quality work, you're going to get a better reputation, and just go after it. Now, I've been at MSNBC. I'm now into my 15th month. Press release was put out yesterday that our cable show has grown more than any other show in the industry, up 28% in the last year. I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that our subject matter deals with the great American middle class. Our subject matter is that we hold Democrats accountable, even though I'm a lefty. But getting the job at MSNBC was a little bit more than a stroke of luck. My wife and I decided to move to Washington because I wanted to start a television show independently on a Sunday morning. And so we shot a pilot. We raised some money. It was going to take a little over $1 million to start our own TV show that would play on Sunday mornings in Washington. And the economy fell through when Obama, took over after the inauguration, and I lost about $500,000 worth of sponsors. And it was a big dream that we were going to independently put this together. It was a very entrepreneurial effort. And, we lost our sponsors because of the economy, so we never got a chance to get it off the ground. And then just the next week, I got a call from MSNBC that Phil Griffin, the president, wanted to meet with me. And it was, he had seen me in the front row of the presidential press conference. And I guess he was curious as to how I got there. And he knew that I had a radio show and had heard my name. And he said, I think I want to sit down and talk to Ed. And it was just scheduled to be a 20-minute cup of coffee, and I wouldn't let the guy go. It turned into a 2-hour meeting, and I convinced him he should give me a shot. And so he let me fill in on a few shows, and then they offered me the position. So a stroke of luck, but also, we left Detroit Lakes, Minnesota, and moved to Washington because after Obama got elected, all our kids are gone and working. And I said, honey, I want to see this change. I want to go to Washington. I've done a lot of things in my career, but I want to be there. I want to get the pulse of what's happening here. And so we moved to Washington so I could get more hits on TV and get more visible, and I thought I could grow my radio show. And we had now in our 7th year of syndication on the Ed Schultz radio show. And so when I met with Phil Griffin in Washington, he said, will you move to New York? I said, I'll go wherever you want me to go. I want this chance. He said, what do you want to talk about? I said, healthcare, and I want to talk about unions and middle class. He says, you think there's an audience there? I said, I know there's an audience there. I listen to them every day. I know that what I'm going to bring to the table in a total scope over the long haul is going to be more of a focus than what your network has had right now, and I think I'll bring some new dimension to your programming. And so he went along with it, and now it was very gratifying yesterday to see the press release that our show has grown, that MSNBC now consistently beats CNN in prime time, and that we're making inroads. And, we're 10 years behind Fox, but I think we're going to get there someday. I really do.
But you could have been a Green Bay Packer.
Could have been a Green Bay Packer. Going back to the days of a college quarterback at Morehead State years ago, Zeke Bradkowski, who was a quarterback for the Green Bay Packers, and then he was on as an assistant coach and quarterback coach for the Packers. Just before the draft in 1977, he came to Morehead State and worked me out. And we had a good visit, and I thought the Packers were going to draft me, and they didn't do it. And they called me during the draft and said there was four rounds left. They said, nobody's going to pick you. We want to sign you as a free agent. And I said, wait a minute. Just pick me now. I guess they had it all figured out on the board that nobody was going to grab me so they could get me as a free agent. So I ended up got a few phone calls, ended up with the Raiders, and had a cup of coffee with them. And I never made an NFL roster. I had tryouts with the Oakland Raiders, the New York Jets, and I spent a little bit of time in the Canadian League with the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. But, after three teams of trying out, I thought, I don't think this is going to work. I'm a realist. I'm going to go to work. And I jumped into the media, which I wanted to do anyway.
And you also say that you feel as though this is what you were born to do. You're doing what you were born to do.
Well, I'm a very fortunate American. I think there's a lot of Americans today that get up and say, doggone it, I got to go to work. I'm
exactly.
Not real thrilled about my job. And I think this is a great time to have a job. I think there's a lot of suffering that's going on out there, and this, unfortunately, might be the new normal. We might have high unemployment for a long time. And if this is the new normal, if we don't reinvest in American jobs the way we really have to, it's kind of scary as to where this whole thing could go. But I am fortunate. I have been lucky. I've worked hard. I've never given up. And you just got to keep pushing and figure it out. Get great people around you and be a part of the team. Understand that if you think you're the most important person in the building, that's going to be the beginning of your downfall.
Yes.
And I think you got to keep your ego in check, and you got to make sure that you've got a great team and realize that you're just a small spoke in what will be a wheel someday that will turn for everybody.
Yes. Well, have fun in Madison, Ed.
I will. Madison's been wonderful. The radio station there, the Mike 92.1, has been just a great station for progressive talk. The community's been very supportive, and there are pockets of the country that have embraced the format of progressive talk, not only our show but other shows, and It's really been a vital part of what we've seen in progressive talk and our side of the dial. And so I really appreciate all the folks. We'll be at the Barrymore Theater tonight. Going to be doing our TV show from the Glass Nickel Pizza Shop.
Oh, you
Madison.
Are? Oh, great.
And so we'll highlight a small business there and, of course, do the show. We were in Chicago last night, so we're looking forward to Madison tonight.
You work hard, sir.
Well, it's fun. I don't mind working hard. I got nothing else to do. I think every day is a mission. Every day is a challenge. There's a lot of work to be done, a lot of truth to be told, and a lot of people to give an opportunity to have a voice, and that's really what our show is all about.
Thanks, Ed. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Kathleen. Thank you so much.
Ed Schultz, the book is Killer Politics, How Big Money and Bad Politics Are Destroying the Great Middle Class. He's in Madison for both his television show and his radio show tonight, a broadcast live from the Barrymore Theater in Madison at 7:30 this evening. He does work hard, doesn't he? He's doing lots and lots of different things. Oh, we need to pause for a moment and we'll return. We're switching totally our focus now. We're going to be talking about the recent conflict in the Middle East between the Israelis and the Turkish aid ships that were headed to Gaza. Our guest joining us by phone from Istanbul. That's coming up in just one moment here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.